So thankful we have a Savior that lives. Amen. I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 tonight. As we continue our series, Under Pressure, tonight we want to learn about helping our child through struggles. Helping a child through struggles. Have you ever met a self-appointed parenting expert? Anybody ever met one of those? Somebody that's always there to give you unsolicited advice on how you need to raise your kids? Nobody's ever met one of those? I don't count because you came here, you chose to listen, so this doesn't count as unsolicited advice. I'm going to try to give you biblical advice tonight, but it seems like a lot of parenting experts are people who don't have children or whose children are very small. And because they got an easy one to start out with, they think they've got it all figured out. But thank the Lord, because the Lord usually gives those people another one. And sometimes He really blesses them with a third one. And there's always something special about that third kid. If you don't know, you don't know. But I'm just telling you. So many times people want to tell us all about it. They want to tell us how we ought to do it and how to do it right. But we do want to do it right. We want to make sure that our kids turn out right. We want to be the kind of parents that raise children who become godly adults, who become people whose lives are centered around Jesus Christ and His Word and who are living for His kingdom and for His glory. And I've got news for you, that doesn't happen by accident. Amen. It takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of diligence, but we want children to grow into adults who love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reality is that's not going to happen by accident, and it's not going to happen easily. There are going to be struggles along the way. Your children are not perfect. Amen. All the people said amen. Your children are not perfect. They're never going to be perfect in the sense of being without sin, but we can strive for perfection in the biblical sense, and we'll talk about it more later. The biblical word for perfect means to be complete. And our children can be complete in Christ. That is an attainable goal. It's a biblical goal. As a matter of fact, they can live lives of holiness. God calls us to be holy. And so we can be used of God to bring our children to that place. All of us know we need to grow in our parenting. And there's going to be seasons when we feel the inadequacy that we have. And we feel it very strongly. But as we go through the lesson tonight, understand that even in seasons of struggle, you can be successful in helping your children through those struggles and equipping them and preparing them for real life. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Through this lesson, we're going to look closer at this idea of training up a child, and we want to pray that God will help us to glean things from the Scriptures. I'll say it again, as I've said it before, some of you have children at home, and I hope this is very helpful to you. Some of your children are grown and gone, but I hope it'll be beneficial to you as well. And some of you do not have children yet, but I pray that this will help you, and God will put some stuff in your heart that will help you when that day comes. So let's pray together and ask Him to help us tonight. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come and to sing Your praises and to look into Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for those who are here who have a desire to learn from Your truth, to help them, to help all of us, to be the Christians that You'd have us to be godly parents and grandparents that You'd have us to be. Lord, please help us to rightly divide and understand the Word of God tonight. Help us to apply it to our lives. Forgive us for the ways that we failed You, Lord, but help us just to continue to look to You, to look to Your truth and Your Word, to learn how to help our children through the struggles of this life. Please help me, for I'm nothing without You, and I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would move in such a way that decisions that need to be made tonight will be made for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we want to look at some biblical principles tonight from the Word of God. And we're going to glean some things. I told you before, the author of this book, R.B. Ouellette, is a man who's pastored for a long time and raised his children well. And so we're going to learn from his experience. We want to learn from the Word of God tonight some principles that will help us. I want you to understand tonight that bringing up your children, training up your children in the way they should go is a God-given responsibility. Amen. This is a God-given responsibility. Every profession that we look at in the world has responsibilities. Doctors have the responsibility to care for their patients. Lawyers have the responsibility to prepare for the cases that they have to go to court with. Store owners have the responsibility to keep their inventory stocked. Everything in life comes with responsibilities, and being a parent comes with tremendous responsibility, and it's God-given responsibility. We have a responsibility to teach or to train our children in the way that they should go. So let's look at some of the responsibilities that we have as parents. Number one, we have a responsibility to protect our children. Amen. We have a responsibility to protect our children. Now, we get that when they're little. A lot of you put the little inserts into the outlets, you know, so they don't stick stuff in the outlets. Anybody ever do that? Amen. You still do that? That's good. Some of you are like, they'll only do it once. Let them learn on their own, right? No, most of us take some precautions when they're little. I know when Abigail was a baby, we went around and we put little foam protectors on the corners of the sharp cabinets. Did anybody else do that? Are we the only ones? Okay. We didn't have those for the boys, but we had it for Abigail when she was a baby. Things change after that first kid, right? We do some things to protect them. When the stove's hot, we tell them to stay away. When you're opening up the oven, you say, get back. When you're getting that boiling water off the stove, I hope you look around and make sure the little ones aren't around. You want to be careful because it's our job to protect them. We get that physically, but it's so much more vital that we protect them spiritually. Amen. That we look out for their hearts and their souls. Sometimes parents have the idea that I want my kids to know what the world's really like, and we don't want to shelter our kids, and you people are just smothering your children. Listen, I want you to understand that it's a parent's job to protect their child. Amen. I promise you, the world is not going to protect your children, and it's our responsibility to do that. I want you to get this understanding because it's so vital. The world, and maybe even some Christians, will criticize you for sheltering your children. But listen, the Bible teaches us that we ought to protect our children. Amen. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, 19 says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Paul writes to the Romans and he says, listen, I want you to be wise to that which is good. You need to understand what's good, but you need to be simple concerning evil. What that word simple means, to be unaware. Listen, it's okay that my 14-year-old daughter doesn't understand everything about the world. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to shelter your children. They ought to be unaware of some things that are going on in the world. Listen, the Bible tells us it's not even right for us to speak of the things that the world is doing in darkness. Amen. So I don't need for her to be educated. I don't need my kids to be educated on the stuff that's going on in dark alleys tonight. And I certainly don't need to allow them to be educated by bringing that stuff into our home through media, whether that's movies or TVs or videos or whatever. It's our job to protect them. You say, well, how are they going to learn? I promise you, they'll be exposed to more than enough evil in their day. They're going to be exposed to more than enough evil in their day. They don't have to be exposed to evil to learn how to handle evil when it comes. What we want them to do is to be wise unto that which is good. Amen. You see, if our children learn how to be wise unto that which is good, then they can handle the evil when it comes. Amen. Everybody with me right now? We're to be separate from the world. We're to come out from among them and be separate. Now, like I said, we get this. I joke with my kids sometimes, probably some of your kids too. When they get a little rambunctious and I want them to go away, I usually tell my kids to go get some razor blades and play in the street. I know that sounds terrible, doesn't it? I don't literally mean that, but listen, if my kids go out here and they're playing in the parking lot and one of them runs out into the road to get a ball, I'm going to be concerned, right? If the boys decide they want to play and they go out here on the highway to play football, out there on the five lane, you know, Moultrie's got a five lane highway, that's crazy. Big city right here. If they go out there and they're trying to play ball on the highway, I'm not going to let that continue, right? That would be dumb. We would see that there's danger there. And so we would guard them because we don't want them to get run over by a vehicle. But listen, the same thing's true. People have this idea, we just want to let our kids out there and let them experience life and let them learn. No, no, no. When they're at home, you need to protect them. You need to guard them and allow them to have some innocence. I'm astounded by people's efforts to take away their own children's innocence today. How about this? How about we just let kids be kids? How about we let our little boys be little boys and we let our little girls be little girls? How about we don't encourage them to dress like no person ought to dress, no matter how old they are? How about we don't encourage that behavior? How about we train them up in the right way? It's our responsibility to protect them, especially as they grow older. I can't caution you enough. As your kids get older and they have more and more access to things, listen, if your kids are old enough to have their own phone and to have their own access to stuff, if you're not guarding that, if you're not monitoring that, you are outside of your mind. I don't know a nice way to say that, but if you're a parent and your kid has a smartphone and you don't pay attention to what apps they're using and what they're doing on that phone, you are crazy. There are so many dangers out there, and there are so many predators out there, and there are so many predators that are getting to young people, girls and boys, right there on their phones that their parents are paying for. It's not okay. It's not okay. And so we need to protect them. Number two, we have a responsibility to correct them. We have a responsibility to correct them. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And this is so many parents' favorite verse in the Old Testament right here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. We love those verses, don't we? There's all the good Baptist people today. All right. Amen. We love it. The Bible tells us we want to use that rod of correction. He says, "Spare not for their crying, they shall not die." Man, this is good preaching. What's wrong with you people? What is the point? There are so many people in the world today that will tell you that you don't need to correct your child. They'll tell you that you just need to let them do whatever they want to do, that you'll hurt their little egos if you tell them they've done wrong. There are people in the world today that will tell you, you should never tell your child they've done wrong. And there are people in America today that have grown up that way. And now they're running for Congress. Listen, I'm telling you that we are reaping the benefits of a secular, humanistic idea of parenting, and it is destroying families, it is destroying lives, and it is tearing apart our nation at the fabric. And you need to understand that we need to correct our children. Amen. And what are you saying, preacher? I gotta just go around and beat them all the time? No, I'm not saying that at all. Maybe. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you should correct them. Now, I have learned the hard way and how to deal with our kids, and listen, I don't have it all figured out. We're still trying to figure it out. You guys know that, but listen, I'm telling you that they have to be corrected. Amen. And it has to start early, and it has to be often. Amen. I'll tell you one of the reasons that we don't correct our children the way that we should. Most of you know that you need to. The reason we don't isn't because we don't think we should. It's because we're too lazy to be consistent. It takes a lot of effort to be consistent in correcting your children. Listen, some days you're real quick to correct them because you're grumpy, you're in a bad mood, and you don't want to put up with it. Other days, you're in a happy mood and you're happy to put up with the same thing you whooped them for yesterday, you let slide today. Listen, I'm talking about me. You can nod your head in agreement if you want to. No, we need to be consistent and we have to correct them. We have to correct them. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother a shame." Amen. We've got a lot of children that have been left to themselves today. When your children do something wrong, you need to point it out, you need to give correction, and you need to stop the bad behavior. You need to do it early and you need to do it often, because if you don't, you're leaving them to themselves and they will be your shame one day. We got to keep correcting them. By the way, it's easy to blame shift. Might be somebody who's been in our church that wants to blame their kid's bad behavior on the pastor. Pastor didn't do a good enough job with my kid. Might want to blame the Sunday school teacher. Might want to blame their teacher at school. Might want to blame the administration. Might want to blame any number of people, and most of us like to blame our own parents for what's wrong with us and everybody else. But I've got news for you tonight. It is not the school's responsibility to train up your child. Amen. It's not the school system's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility to train up your child. It is your responsibility to train up your child. Now, some of you would say, "Well, I just don't think I can handle this kid. I don't know." You ever felt like that? Yeah, well, listen. It's not by accident. You have that child or those children because God gave them to you. Amen. He didn't give your child to someone else. He gave your child to you. And he gave you the responsibility to protect them, to correct them, and to perfect them. I told you we would talk about this a little bit more. This word perfect is a Bible word. I like Bible words, don't you? Amen. Now, the world messes up words, and so we want to make sure that we get the right use of this word. The word perfect in your New Testament does not mean to be without sin. Amen. Everybody with me right now? It does not mean to be without sin. The word perfect in your Bible means to be complete. Amen. It has the idea of coming to maturity. Now, my children are not perfect. They're not. They're not perfect in any sense of the word. But our goal as parents is to train them up to maturity, to completion in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, to bring them up to a faithful young man or young woman in Christ. Amen. That's our goal. And so it's your responsibility to perfect them. We've been looking at Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Remember, this word nurture has the idea of tutoring, of teaching and instructing. The word admonishment has the idea of calling attention to. And so we nurture and admonish. And the idea is that we not only warn our children when they do wrong, correct them, but we have to build them up so that they'll learn to do what's right. Amen. I want to take a second to tell you, you got to be really careful with the words you use for your children. Amen. You got to be really careful with the things you say to your children. It's an amazing thing that the things that adults and other people say to children tend to be self-fulfilling prophecies. If you tell a child they're mean enough, they will be mean. You hear me? If you talk about your child or God forbid somebody else's child and you continually repeat these negative things about them, I promise you they will be those things. You know why? Because you break their spirit and they just give up. If they think I'm going to be mean, if they think I'm awful, if they think I'm a devil child, then I might as well be, because they treat me like I am anyway. Amen. Wouldn't you be that way? Amen. Listen, there are people in this world, they tell kids they're stupid all the time. Bright little kids. Tell them they're stupid. You tell them they're stupid long enough and they'll give up. They'll live up to that expectation. So be careful with what you say to your kids. Be careful what other people say to your kids. Amen. We want to admonish them. We want to encourage them. We want to bring them up. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is not just raising them up, but building them up, growing them. There's a crucial difference between telling and training. A lot of parents have told their children to do right, but they do not insist on proper performance. There's a difference between telling and training. If I tell my child to do something and they don't do it or they don't do it the right way and I just leave it at that, I haven't trained them at all. If I tell them to do something, I show them how to do something. When they fail to do it the right way, then I show them how to do it correctly. I correct them. Now I'm entered into training and not just telling. Some parents are too lazy to tell. Most parents are too lazy to train. But God has given us the responsibility to perfect our kids. And we've got to do that by consistent training. One of the most important jobs we have is training our children to glorify God. Amen. And when we nurture and admonish our children, while they go through times of struggle, we can still work through that and bring them to a place of maturity. So we see this responsibility. Next, I want you to notice a biblical principle. A biblical principle. Proverbs 22:6, I want you to look at it again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to ask you a question. Is this a Bible promise, or is it a Bible principle? I want you to think about it for a second, because there's a raging debate, there has been for centuries, about whether this is a Bible promise or it's a Bible principle. Is this a promise? Does this mean if you train your child upright, they will turn out right, and every time it'll be that way? Or is it a principle that, generally speaking, if you train your child upright, they'll turn out right, but you have an understanding that sooner or later your kids are going to make their own decisions? You see the difference? Let me just give you a hint. This is really important, not just for this lesson tonight, but every time you study your Bible, do you notice what book that comes from? It's Proverbs. This is a proverbial truth. Well, what's a proverbial truth? Well, we know it's true because it's in the Word of God. But we also know that Proverbs are generalities. They're general truths. Is it possible that you could train up a child in the right way and that that child could end up taking the wrong path? Is that possible? Yeah. Well, a lot of times our take on whether this is a promise or a principle depends on how our kids have turned out. All right, for somebody who's raised their kids up and their kids are serving the Lord, they look at it and go, oh, that's a Bible promise. And if your kids don't turn out right, you obviously didn't train them up right. I got to confess to you, I've had that attitude in the past, and it's been hard for me because I believe this principle. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I know it's a Bible principle. I understand it's not an absolute promise. But I do believe the principle strongly enough that when my kids mess up, and if my kids grow up and are messed up, I believe that there's probably some failure on my part. Everybody with me? Yeah, so it's there. But I want to give you this verse, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You see, I'm going to answer for how I've parented my children. Melissa's going to answer for how she's parented our children. But my children are going to answer for how they serve the Lord. Amen. So we all have a responsibility here. It's my responsibility to train them up. But I want you to know this. Some people, you just don't know how people are going to turn up. R.B. Willett had a friend who went to Christian school with two boys from the same family. Two boys from the same family, raised in the same home by the same parents, with the same set of rules, with the same expectations, with the same everything. One of those boys is a teacher at a Christian school. The other boy is serving a life sentence for murder. You go, how does that happen? Well, they were trained up in the way that they should go, but one day they made decisions on their own. So we get that. As a general rule, as a proverbial truth, as a Bible principle, if we train our children to do right, he will continue to do right once he grows old. How we raise our kids makes a difference. When we look in the Bible, we see some harmful responses to struggles. You think just a little bit about Eli and his sons. When Eli's sons were sinning against the Lord, Eli did nothing about it. They profaned the sacrifice. They committed immoral sin with women in the tabernacle. And Eli did nothing. And because he did nothing, God punished him. His sons died in battle. And when Eli got the news, you remember, when they came and told him the news, he fell over backwards and broke his neck and died. The Lord cut off his family in a day because he refused to do what God called him to do. Listen, when our children mess up, we can't do nothing. We have to do something. And when your kids get older, I know my kids are not all that old yet, but the older they get, the more vital it is, and I think the harder it is. It's not too hard when they're little, they do something they shouldn't, and you pop them, say, don't do that, right? The older they get, the harder that gets. The bigger the struggles are. But don't let the difficulty be an excuse for doing nothing. You think about David and his sons. Before David died, he chose Solomon to be the next king, but you'll remember it didn't just happen easily. Adonijah was David's fourth and older son than Solomon. He decided he ought to be king instead. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 1, it says that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And listen to this. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? David let Adonijah do whatever he wanted to. Any parents that do that today? Let the kid do whatever they want to. Never hold them back. Never so, why have you done that? So we just want to remember that we can't just let our kids do whatever they want to. Amen. A lot of parents do anything they can to make their kids happy. Don't want to do anything to make them unhappy. Oh. That's pre-COVID days. Don't see this much anymore, but before COVID. You remember that? Sometimes Maggie will tell us a story and she'll say, I think it was before COVID. That's heartbreaking when you're 4-year-old. Heartbreaking. But you remember back in the day, have any of you ever witnessed a child having a tantrum in Walmart? Have you ever seen that? Was it yours? No, I'm just don't know. Anybody ever seen that? I've seen it so many times, and I've had my kids try to act like that, and it's when they're real little, and man, it's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. We'll talk about the reason we ought to correct them, not because they've embarrassed us, because of what they've done is wrong, but you ever seen that parent with that kid throwing a fit, and they just give them whatever they want just to shut them up? Yeah, and you're like, oh, I've been there. Sometimes you get the interview, but listen. Some parents raise their children that way all the time. Throw a big enough fit, get whatever you want. Do you hear me right now? Throw a big enough fit, get whatever you want. Some of those people have turned into adults in America today. You see them on the news. Some of them are anchors on the news. Throw a big enough fit, get whatever you want. And that's the result. Listen, I'm telling you right now, by the grace of God, I pray my kids never turn out like some of that stuff. By the grace of God. Some schools won't let their children play games in which they keep score so there aren't any losers. You think that's going to help? Yeah, that's going to help them out for life because there are no winners and losers in life. As messed up and as liberal as our colleges are today, guess what? You still have to put in the work and get the grade, or they just take your money and send you on your way. And then you go out into the, what we call quote unquote, the real world. And you interview for a job. And there's 300 other applicants. Guess what? There's going to be winners and losers. Amen. Listen, this is reality. And so we need to understand, we've got to prepare our children for reality. Let me talk to you about the greatest classroom. The greatest classroom. The best classroom in the world for your children is your home. Amen. Parents are the primary instructors and role models for their kids. Amen. To do it and do it right requires huge investment of time and effort. There are no shortcuts. There are no substitutes for extended, intensive, personal teaching. Amen. Day after day after day, time after time after time, you have to teach your kids. The most important discipling you will ever do in your life is the discipling of your own children. Amen. I'm a pastor. I try to disciple people. I'm trying to disciple you right now. You get that, right? It's when we take the Word of God and we teach it to other people. I've tried to disciple people in my life as just a Christian, other friends that I've tried to help along the way. And that's good. It's a good thing to do, right? There are people that you have had an influence over. You've tried to disciple them and help them in their walk with Christ. But the most important discipling that will ever happen happens in your home. Amen. Discipline, truth, and the repetition of the Word of God will have a powerful effect on your family, on your children. Ephesians 6:4 both warns us and instructs us. He says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." There's a warning there. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." There's instruction there. We don't want to provoke them to wrath. How do we do that? Well, not provoking your children to wrath does not mean they won't ever be upset with you. But provoking your children to wrath means that when we discipline them out of anger, out of frustration, or out of shame, it causes them to be provoked to anger. We have to disciple them. We have to discipline them in love. Amen. When Pastor Ouellette was a boy, he said he remembers his dad would sit him down when he had done something wrong. He'd go over what he had done wrong. "What have you done wrong? Tell me what you did." And then he would ask, "Son, do you know why what you did was wrong?" And what do you think the punishment should be for that offense? What do we talk about? If you do A, what's punishment going to be? And so it was just a conversation, sit down and examine it. It wasn't just this angry response. But by going through it that way, it makes it hard for the child to be mad at you for the punishment. Because you've discussed it. They know. It puts them in a position where they have to learn to accept responsibility for what they have done. Our kids need to learn that they have to accept responsibility for their decisions. It's an incredibly important truth. Benjamin Franklin said, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We need our kids to understand what's right, what's wrong, and what the results are going to be when they do what's wrong. Some of you might feel like it's too late. Some of you feel like you can't teach your children the truth as a preventative measure because they're already turning their back on you. Some of you might feel like your kids have already gone too far, but I want you to understand this. It's not too late. Amen. It's never too late for God to change people's hearts. Really, that's what this is all about. Let me give you, we saw some harmful responses. We saw Eli and David very briefly. Let me give you 7 helpful responses to struggles in your kids' life very quickly. Number 1, teach them to obey first and seek an explanation later. First we obey, then we explain. It's not wrong for your kids to want to know why. That's okay, but do what you're told. Then we'll talk about why. Obey first, then seek an explanation. Number 2, caution them to expect unfair treatment. This may come to a shock, as a shock to you. It came as a shock to me. Life isn't fair. I had this discussion with my mom repeatedly, and she told me lots of times, whoever told you life was fair? I don't know who told me that. I don't know why I thought it should be, but I really thought life should be more fair than it was, especially in my favor. Right? Listen, life's not going to be fair, and your kids shouldn't expect it to be that way. They need to understand that there is going to be injustice in the world. They need to learn to expect things are going to be unfair sometimes. Number three, demonstrate or grieve for their sin, not your embarrassment. I just have to confess, I'm so guilty of this. Your kid's throwing a fit in Walmart. Are you really upset with them? Are you angry with them because they're acting the wrong way? Are you angry with them because the way they're acting is embarrassing you? Just be honest. You see, we get embarrassed over our kids' conduct sometimes, but that's not the reason that we discipline them. We had to discipline them because we are grieved for their sin. What we want them to learn is to do what's right. The lesson isn't don't be an embarrassment to dad. The lesson is do what God wants you to do. Number four, ask questions and avoid accusations. There's a great truth. If you haven't got it yet, get it now. Questions stir the conscience. Accusations harden the will. This is great for working with your kids. It's great for working with other people. It's great for evangelism. Accusations harden the will. You don't go at somebody saying, you did this, you did that. Ask questions, because questions will stimulate the conscience. Questions will stir up their conscience. Number five. This is tough. We want to learn to support authority even when we disagree. Support authority even when we disagree. When your kids are at school or on the ball field and their teacher or their coach says or does something, even if you don't agree with it, you need to back up that authority. And maybe you have a conversation with coach later. Maybe you have a conversation with the teacher later, but you demonstrate to your kids that you support the authority that's in their life. Everybody understand that? And that's critical. That's critical. Why do we have all the chaos we have in America today against law enforcement? Because we have a bunch of kids that grew up not learning to respect authority. So they need to learn that authority. Why? Because they need to respect your authority, because it's God-given authority. They need to learn to respect other authorities, because all authority in your life is God-given authority. And when we disrespect authorities that are over us, ultimately we're disrespecting God. Number six, determined to grow spiritually. Man, raising kids, not only are you helping them grow, but it's going to help you grow. It's going to help you grow up. And you can use the struggles that we're working through with our kids will help us to grow spiritually. Number seven, encourage your child to grow spiritually. I think academics are important for our kids. Am I the only one here that thinks academics are important for our kids? Don't you think it's important for them to learn academically? We want them to be educated. We think that's important. I think athletics can be important for our kids. I think it's good for them to learn the discipline it takes to work and to do that. There's benefits from that. There's a lot of ways we want our kids to grow up. I mean, when they're little bitty, we want them to grow. We want them to, you know, teach our kids, you know, like when I was growing up, I ate my spinach because I wanted to be strong like Popeye. Right? Anybody else do that? Nasty stuff. What a lie. I ate that nasty stuff and look at me. It's wrong. False advertisement. No, we want them to grow up. We teach them to eat their protein so they can grow strong muscles and all of those good things. But we want our kids to grow spiritually. More than anything else, we want them to learn to grow spiritually. You may not see it, but God's at work in your kids' struggles. Life's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And to avoid all discomfort is not going to prepare them for life. It's not going to prepare them for ministry. It's not going to prepare them to live for Christ in the world today. But going through those struggles and addressing them biblically will help them to grow into the men and women God wants them to grow into. I think it's a very high calling to get to be a parent. I know there are a lot of people who want more than anything to be a parent, and that's all in God's hands, and my heart goes out to them. But those of you who have raised children, you got to realize what a blessing it's been. And those of you who are raising kids right now, you got to realize what a blessing it is. And we ought to love and encourage each other in bringing our children up, to train them up in the way that they should go. Let's stand together. Musicians, come. We do want to sing a verse of invitation. And I hope you'll pray with me for our children. Not just our kids, but these kids we bring in on the vans. Pray for them to learn to know the Lord.